Environment Roundup show. Now, before we left, I said that I was going to have a little rant. Well, it's not a rant as such, but I heard something on another radio show, and I know Keith heard it as well as he was coming up. And I know the guy that's on that other radio show's there to wind people up, but he succeeded with me on the way up, I must admit. Because Mr. Adrian Durham from TalkSport decided to say that he didn't like the idea of Cambridge United against Manchester United the other week, and said that they didn't come out, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. All they were doing were defending and trying to stop them from scoring, and the pitch was a mess and this and that, and coming out with all these excuses. Well, I don't think that guy's ever watched a non-league game of football in his life, because it's not a case of that. If you're going in and you're playing with milkmen and postmen and candlestick makers and everything else, and you're going up against the likes of Wayne Rooney, Robin Van Persie and the rest, you're not going to go out there and attack them. You're going to do your very best to hold out for as long as you possibly can and maybe catch them on the break. And what he doesn't realise, even people down as far in, you know, in the conference and below, they haven't got pitches that are going to be like carpets. Okay, there's going to be the odd one or two, i.e. Harlow out here and Maidstone that have got the 3G pitches. But then there'd be an excuse about, oh, well, they've got a 3G pitch and that's why they did it. I've never heard of so much rubbish in all my life come from one man. It was just absolutely incredible that he came out of all these statements today saying that you know, Cambridge were a disgrace and blah, 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 and all the rest of it because they didn't come out and attack Manchester United.
Well, he mentioned about the chairman, didn't he, coming down if they would have got a penalty in the last minute and asking him to miss it so they get their £1 million. Like I said, it was more of a wind-up. But you're right, you know, these clubs, I actually watched that game and I was well impressed the way Cambridge kept their shape at the back. You know, the two banks of four, they made it difficult. So, you know, if they would have opened up, they would have got picked off for fun. You know, I watched the replay and they'd done all right there as well.
And I said, you're not going to go out there and, you know, you want to win a football match. And if that's the way you feel you're going to win a football match, you know, would he been saying the same thing if that was Peterborough against Manchester United? Would he have been saying the same thing if it was England in the World Cup final and we're playing Germany and we sit back and defend and then score a last-minute goal? Mm. You know, he wouldn't be saying it then. Well, why is England sitting back and why are England defending and why this and why that? Well, that he wouldn't be saying it then. So why say it because it's Cambridge United? You know, and I think there was a game, I think it was the Bolton game when it was on BBC. Was it the Bolton game on BBC or was it
Bolton?
It was the Bolton game on BBC. And you'd even got the likes of, what's the name? Neville was on there doing Phil Neville, wasn't it? Doing the commentary and getting names wrong.
Yeah.
You know, do your homework. You know, it's the BBC this year have done nothing. Yeah, they've got some great games of football on the BBC this year. But for me, they have disgraced themselves beyond belief this year by some of the facts that they've actually physically got wrong in non-league football when they've had a non-league side or a lower league side, shall we say, not a Premier League side that they see week in, week out. And they don't get the stuff right, you know, at all. And that's why I've said when you get to the, especially to the lower league, when you're in the round ones and round twos of the FA Cup, you've got a non-league person out there, then you should be having people that commentate week in, week out on non-league football to be the one that's standing there with the likes of a Martin Tyler who can help him through it. And that's a person is the guy that's helping commentate on the game. Mm. That means it's somebody like a Carl Bates, if that's somebody like yourself or somebody that goes out there that knows everything about non-league football and knows the side that's out there and not somebody, some overpaid prima donna like Robbie Savage or somebody like that, that has no idea whatsoever about non-league football.
To be fair to Martin Tyler, he knows his football.
Oh, being absolutely.
He'd been involved with Kingstonian for so long and under Martin. But yeah, no, you're right there. You know, you can have someone that does make it a bit easier. Don't forget, it's these lads of time in the limelight as well. And but obviously, you know, there was another conversation earlier on the same programme about grassroots football and non-league need this amount of money and could they give the FA Cup money back down? And you know, it's just never going to happen. The rich clubs, well, not the rich, the big clubs will always be the big clubs, and the small clubs are trying to fight their way there.
And that's why I've always said, if there's a fine that a club or a player has to pay to the FA, why does that not go into a pot? And then that money then gets filtered down into the non-league game. If that then means that that's going to be helping out in the Ryman Leagues or the Essex Senior League or Conference or wherever else to help maybe get a 3G pitch for a team.
Well, as I said, I think I might have said the other week, and I didn't really know this, but obviously speaking to Dartford and again the manager last night, that any team that gets into the first round proper of the any non-league team gets into the first round proper of the FA Cup, every single replay from there to the semi-final, they get a percentage of the gate, and it comes back to them 32 clubs that are in it. So the Man United game last night, they were working out, this team were working out, a non-league team, they were going to get around close to maybe £2,000 out of that one game. So they're quite happy that Cambridge drew, and they looked at Liverpool Bolton. So I never knew this, but yeah, so any non-league club or any club gets to the first round proper, then 32 teams in that round get any replay, a percentage of the gate after profit. I think it might be 5%, I'm not sure. And the FA do put that in the pot and give it back. So I know it happened to a couple of clubs last year, and it's happening now. So
yeah, for us, it would have been, what, East Thurrock and...
there you go.
East Thurrock and Maidstone.
Yep. Yep, and obviously I'm just talking about Dartford got there as well. Yeah. I'm friends there, but you know, we're saying 5% of that gate. The FA also, you know, why can't it be 15-20% of that gate? Mm. It makes a difference. And then why can't it be filtered round to lower down? And I said about, and I've had a bit of a rant with this. About 6 years ago, maybe even longer, the non-league clubs made a fuss about the FA Cup money. And the FA Cup money to a non-league club is quite big. And the FA took £1 million off the winners. In prize money off the Premier or the Football League side, and they filtered it back down. And whereas you were maybe getting £7,000 to win a round in the FA Cup, say two rounds, it was £15,000. Then it was £25,000. And if you went three or four rounds, your club was getting closely £40,000-£50,000 that would set your club up for the whole year. Mm. It was massive. And the big clubs complained, and the FA took it back off them and put the prize money back up at the top. Why would £1 million, you know... Mm. It's nothing, and that's a massive thing, you know, to win. I keep saying I've got another non-league side very close to me and my heart in Phoenix Sports that are up to Newcastle this week against South Shields. You know, if they've gone from Bodmin in the last round and away, and they're up to Newcastle this week. The travel, the prize money is like £2,500, that's nothing. If you win the Vase, I think you get £15,000, and you've got all your travel. You know, it's a joke. Mm. It's a joke. These clubs should be getting like, you know, £250,000 or something to win something like that, and just take it out of the FA prize money, FA Cup prize money. Mm. Got to be a bigger incentive for these clubs. Got to be.
And that's because, I mean, for me, I mean, yet again, I mean, it is the case though, isn't it? A Premier League teams, they don't care about non-league football in the slightest. There's not a single thing in there that makes them feel that they're doing anything for non-league football.
No, a couple of clubs, like I said, again, going back over the years, I think I remember Arsenal giving all the programme sales to a non-league side or a lower league side. And I know it's not, but again, it's £100,000 or something. It's a lot of money. And things like that. And they used to be able to sort of, you know, change the fixture to the away ground, and all that's changed now. So, you know, they can do, and I do know that some pro clubs try and do a little bit with the non-league sides. You know, there's a lot more now of loaning players. They do that a lot more. I think they bring a few more pre-season friendlies to you as well. But, you know, every non-league club is doing their best and want help from. And I think listening again to Adrian Durham, a pro club should team up with their local non-league club and help them out. It's nothing to them. Mm. And I think they should, even if they gave a percentage of one of their home games to help that club out. Even if it was 5%, it could be £5,000. That's massive.
Yeah. I mean, we have non-league day.
Yeah.
Not being funny, why can't we have another day where 20% of the gate or 20%, 25% of the gate goes to the local club in that area?
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? And you say, right, okay, well, right, great, okay. Tottenham ladies say play at Wear, right, okay, then 25% of whatever else goes to there. But even when Tottenham ladies were playing over here, they didn't even used to advertise that they used to play here. Mm. You know, and you sit and you scratch your head thinking, why? But when you look at the likes of Arsenal, and not just because they're my second team, but, you know, when you look at Arsenal, they go to Boreham Wood, the ladies play at Boreham Wood, the reserves play at Boreham Wood, and anybody that hasn't seen Boreham Wood Stadium lately, it's amazing. Mm. You know, the pitch is just absolutely immaculate.
Yep.
Brand new stand there. Do you know what I mean? And it's they help look after them. And where are they sitting at this present minute in time? You know, top of the table.
Yeah, no, that's exactly true. Yeah, no, they obviously, like I said, Arsenal has helped. We've got Cheltenham ladies that played at Thames Meade, and they do advertise. The Cheltenham don't, but Cheltenham ladies do. But Yeah, I keep going back. Every single non-league club, and it sounds like when you come on shows like this and the non-league that all you're doing is pleading poverty.
Mm.
But you know, you've got the same fines. You've got to do the same. You've got to do your grounds up. Mm. Everything. You know, why can't one of these grounds look at just say. Why can't Brighton look at Peacehaven and know that they need X amount to get their ground up to scratch and go, we'll help you out with that. You know, we give you 5% of our gate on Saturday. That's just got your ground.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what he needs.
Yeah. I mean, I was literally what I was just about to say. You know, you look at some of these ground, these teams that have gone to the wall and someone was saying, oh, it was a Premier League player's wages for the week.
Yep.
You know, and you think, oh my God, that little. I think it was Hereford, wasn't it?
I don't know if you heard again on that radio show. I must do nothing all day. I'm in my car. It's a radio show. But they were all about Chelsea with their haircuts. That John Terry, for the last 8 years, has paid every single player's haircut at Chelsea, and it's added up to around 150 grand, 1 week's wages. What would that do to Harlow Town? Mm. 150 grand.
Mm.
Why can't they, you know, why couldn't they have paid for your G3 outside? They could come and use it at their academies out there.
Yeah.
You know, I think just people need to get together around a table and help out.
It's just, you know, just brainless, I think, some of it, if I'm honest. So, I suppose, away from the rant.
Yeah, to another one.
Yeah. So, I suppose, shall we say away you go?
No, yeah, you might as well ask the first question, to be honest with you. And obviously, someone tweeted earlier about it, about why I left Thamesmead Town.
Mm-hmm.
This show's not long enough for me to go in, Dave. I said that to you, and I still feel bitterly angry and upset about it, if I'm honest with you. The one thing I said on Twitter that, you know, I did blame Trust Thamesmead and the management of Sporting Club Thamesmead, and that is the only sole reason I left Thamesmead Town Football Club. And I said I would reveal all, and I'm not going to do that tonight, because one, I haven't got the time, but everything that I will say about will be 100% factual and true, and I will make sure that, you know, everything I've got written, minutes, emails. I've got over 3,500 emails between the dealings with us. So everything I say will be the truth, and I will back it up. I won't make anything, you know, everything will be factional. Nothing will be fictional. But for me, it was the hardest decision I ever had to do. I've said this, you know, Thamesmead's my family. I've got people there that I love dearly. But I wasn't just a manager at Thamesmead. I was also the director. And before Paul Bowden Brown came in 2 years ago, I was the sole, you could say, owner of the club that dragged it through. And I took over the club 9 years ago, sort of financially, when the club was in debt. Not from the seniors. It was, you know, run fairly similar to most clubs. Our ground was sort of, you know, the car park was all full of the clubhouse. And I sort of got in there and sort of kept it alive. Just organised it a little bit with the trust. And not the trust, sorry, with the locals. And I sort of set up youth teams, communities and so on. And when the trust come in, we used to, what I was told, the GLC gave Thamesmead Town the football club when it was established and built it, and we got photographs and proof. And obviously when the GLC got abolished, we ended up losing the ground, and something called Thamesmead Town Limited was formed, and which is Trust Thamesmead. And it was a developer, and they had to put X amount of money back in. Anyway, somehow we got leased the ground on a 99-year lease. We're sitting there and the club wasn't looking moving forward, and a fella come in, the chief executive called Mick Hayes, and sort of come up with this plan of Sporting Club Thamesmead, about great facilities and whatever. And I remember the committee looking at him going, yeah, we've heard it all before, white elephant. And he told us to trust him. He said, whatever happens, the football club will never be worse off than what it is. I should have kicked him out the door, because we did trust him. I've gone in and I've had, I was from the first planning meeting at Bexley Council to get the ground, had a lot of input, hundreds of hours of meetings and agreements for the football club, all basically be a waste of time. And like I said, they don't know what they're doing over there. They'd never run a sports club. It's come to a stage where, you know, the football club, we feel like we're being bullied. And you know, even when I left, the club got an email saying that we see why Keith's left. You know, in the ranges, again, I've got to be careful here, that if he says anything derogatory about them, that it could have a huge effect on the football club after I've left, you know. And this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people that can't, you know, that, I know for a fact, the place isn't being run properly. They know that, you know, but I've got hundreds of agreements, what was meant to be called a partnership, and I quote, a partnership, and to a stage where the place doesn't even feel like your home. You know, we grand share with Charlton Ladies, where we've never had a problem with. Lovely people over there. You know, I looked after the pitch with them. And if you look at our pitch now, it's an absolute joke. It become a power struggle in the end. And, you know, they've got 7 acres and sick up here who play in the Kent County League. Again, not had an issue with anyone over there. Nice people, Lee and that. But, you know, we're their biggest earner. We're their best customer. They can say, we've done this for you and we've done that for you. You know, logistically, all they've done is gave us, again, going back on agreements, £4,000 from the bar last year. And that was the bar from first team games only. I mean, it was 100% profit. You know, they get half the money made from our academy because it's a joint partnership. They get £15,000 plus in training from all our youth teams, from ourselves, or our rent. They get bar money. We're their biggest earner. And we're treated no different to if a team comes down from the pub and eyes it out. And they can say, yeah, you get a discount on the, you know, you get a £5 or £10 less. And it was, we were going into, and over these 9 years, going back to the beginning, we were sitting around the table and we were coming up with a partnership agreement, how we both could meet. They got their funding because of Thamesmead Town Football Club. They put a lot of their own money in, don't get me wrong. You know, it was meant to be a £3.9 million stadium that ended up being 6 point something because, you know, they didn't project manage it. They didn't have they had two builders go bust. Well, in this day and age, you can see buildings coming up all over the place. So what's the problem there? They just didn't want to listen. And like I said, they're going to rebut, and that's fine. I haven't got an issue. But we were trying to give them advice. They didn't want to know. But the football club suffered. The 3 years that delay took from the club coming in, we financially lost fortunes. One, obviously, you know, heating and the, obviously, if people come over to Thamesmead and looked at the car park, the state of the place. We couldn't hire out the place for a hall, for a function, because no one wanted to come there. If you had a wedding, you had to go through 4 foot of mud in your wedding dress to get into our hall. So we lost a fortune. And they kept going, don't worry. And, you know, they bought our assets off us. They helped out paying bills, bought our assets off us for the stand and that, and took the money out of that. So it didn't really give us, it was giving us one thing and taking it back with the other. And we still kept going, yeah, we've got this partnership agreement. We was going to do this and that. You know, they because of the level of football played, they got the funding from the Football Foundation. They got £1 million extra from the Football Foundation. They used our development plan, which I put together with them over many hours. And once they got all the funding, it was like, well, goalposts have changed now. We've got Peabody Trust in that are buying us out. And any time you sat around a meeting with them, like I said, not bad temper meeting, fine, but I'm not a lapdog. I won't roll over and have his tummy tickled. If I sit there and go, I've got an agreement with you, that agreement stands. And I'd have an agreement with someone. You'd say, yeah, not written, but we're going to come to agreement over a meeting. It'll be minuted, which some of the minutes were doctored as well. And again, I've got proof with that on the football club just to benefit them. And you'd have meetings with different people. So you would agree something. You'd go back in a little week later to the facility and they'd go, what are you on about? No one's agreed that. And you would go, well, we had a meeting with your boss last week. And everybody covered everybody's back. And that's the issue they got. And like I said, I can go on. I've got factual things. I could go on for hours. And it was coming to the stage where, just going to the 7 acre thing, that they wanted a grand share for money purposes. And I'm going that the pitch can't handle it. We had our 18s and 21s, Ryman playing there. And I'm going, what, are you telling me I've got to pull my under 18s and 21s out of our own home? I'm not going to do it. And they said, no, we'll come with a way. And all of a sudden we was going to get a lease, and the lease wasn't a lease, it was a license, and it was 1 year, and they were leaving it all to the last minute where the Ryman League's going to us. Look, you've got to say, so there was always holding us to ransom, I felt. And I said, I've got nothing to lose now. I've left. They can't do anything to me, so I don't care. But and I'm happy for anyone to tweet in and ask me any question, and I'll answer it honestly and openly. And they know I'm a very passionate person as well, especially about this football club. You know, I've done presentations in front of MPs, European MPs, for their funding, and they thought, wow, what have you done in the community? You know, and then they're going to us, well, what are you doing in the community? They're looking at one thing. You know, we look after, the, you know, we coach 6 schools, 300 kids. Thamesmead Town is the community. And they just were getting any other team. And the facility's got to make money, and I understand that, and you've got to help out. But at the end, Thamesmead Town, it wasn't, we were just someone that just rented a pitch off them. And they were cancelling games. Look, 2 weeks ago, we had 9 games in 8 games in 9 days on the main pitch. Something that never happened the year before when I was looking after the pitch. And I was told, we're doing it in partnership. You come down. Not once did they cancel an under 21 game 4 weeks ago. Just before Christmas against Heybridge Swiss, when the pitch was perfect. We got a fine from the Ryman League because everyone turned up and they said, no, the game, too many games on the pitch. That was it. Heybridge the referee too. It's perfect. Last week, they said they had 8 games in 9 days on the pitch, and one of them was a friendly that on a Sunday that they had to get a pitch inspection for. And I'm sitting there going, this ain't it. And they're trying to tell me to keep my mouth shut. I stopped going to meetings for the last couple of months because, if I'm honest with you, I wanted to punch one of them, and I would do. And if one of them walked down a dark alley and I'd had a drink in the next few weeks, I will do. I don't care. You know, they've pushed me that far, and that's why I had to walk away, because I was going to do something stupid. I was going to, and that's not me. I've got a family, and you know, I'm absolutely gutted. My last day on Saturday was emotional, and I do want to say, I tweeted it. Wroxham were brilliant to me on Saturday. They you know, they done a guard of honour for me. All the players come up, and it was a very emotional day, and for me, after being there 11 years, I didn't want to leave. And I'm not on them terms anyway. I wasn't asked to leave. But, you know, and it is all down to people that have done it off their own gain and trying to cover. And like I said, I'm putting it all together now. I'm wading through the 3,500 odd emails I've got. I've got 10 different versions of a partnership agreement that will all change, you know, and I will put it out there, and anyone wants to ask me, and but everything will be factual. And I've just tried to skim over bits here and there, but, you know, I can open such a can of worms up, and I will, because the four people, and they know who they are because they've been following me on Twitter, the four people I will make sure suffer as much as I've had to suffer over the last 6 years.
Well, you know that this programme is our programme.
Yeah.
So when you're ready, you've only got to say,
yep,
and then there'll be a Keith McMahon special here, yep, for the 2.5 hours solid, and it'll be you can go for it with it.
Yep.
We'll talk about it all the way through. We'll go through bits and bobs about the whole thing and the situation. In terms of, if that's what you want
to
do,
it needs to come out, David. Like, the FA and that need to know what's going on with their money and what these people are doing. And like I said, the reputation in Thames Media is poor anyway. And the facility, everyone turns up at Thames Media and goes, what great facility. It's ran awful. You know, if health and safety walked in there, they'd shut the place down. It's a joke. And the football club are suffering.
And it must have been a complete heart wrencher for you to leave there. You know, you've been there for so long, you know, especially for the playing side of it. It must have been, you know, a decision that wasn't, probably must have been one of the most hardest decisions of your life.
David, I'm sitting here now talking to you, I'm shaking, because Saturday was something I never thought would happen. You know, obviously, if I moved on for a manager, you know, got the sack or moved on for 11 years, I've been a major part of that. And, you know, I've seen the club grow, and they've told, you know, even we've done everything that was asked of us. You know, they told us that we had to get ourselves in all our accounts, put, you know, they run us like they own the place and they own the football club, which they don't. You know, watch what you say in the programme about us. If you do that, we'll throw you out. You do that, there's no more partnership. And, you know, for me, it's something that I was, apart from the last year when I've tried to not go down there, I was at the club every day, every single day. And, because I was that hands-on. You know, I've even slept in there for security reasons. And to see Saturday, it hasn't really sunk in. Tuesday night was difficult when I was at home, watching the game on through Twitter, and again, you know, I commented a few things because I felt angry, and I know some of the club feel angry. I've made some great friends. I've had some of the best times of my life, apart from my two boys being born there, and it could have worked. It could have worked, and if they had listened to me, and gone along with, and all I asked for was to people to be honest. If I say, yep, that's what we've agreed. For me, that's what we've agreed. Yeah, things change a little bit, but not for things to go back on what they've done to that club. And I know I'm speaking for the football club as well, that they're heartbroken. And I can only see it going one way if things don't sort it out. And like I said, and these people need to be told what's gone on. And if they are being honest and their new owners are looking in and whatever, then they're going to be shocked what they're going to find.
I mean, it's one of those things as well, I suppose. It's going to affect even the playing staff. You know, if you've got this sort of going on, then, you know, I assume some of those lads that will be down there will be young lads as well that have worked with you from from almost day one, you know, and this must be sort of like ripping them apart.
Some of the tweets and some of the, I've had over 300-400 messages and photos, and, you know, I had a young lad, a couple of them nearly bringing me to tears, and Saturday was that, I had to walk away, and, you know, I had a lad saying to me, Keith, you know, you brought me through the youth ranks at 16, I'm 24 now, you're the only person I've played for, I'm absolutely gutted, you know, I don't think I'm going to play anymore. Listen, they're great stuff, and, you know, I'm saying to him, look, life goes on, you never know, but, you know, people say, I was only driven for the first team, which is rubbish. In my, like, 11 years at Thamesmead Town, I've brought through more than 40 youth team players into the first team. I don't think there's another manager in our level of football that can even say that. And I can name most of them. This year we've done 6 under-18 players. You know, the two that come on, and I know Flans is on in a minute, the two subs that come on for against Brentwood on Tuesday night, I brought through, they're both 16 years old, playing our academy and our under-18s. I'm not looking for a pat on the back. All I'm looking for is people from the Trust and beyond to look at Thamesmead Town and see what it's done for its community. And we are the community. We're Thamesmead Town Football Club in Thamesmead. You know, we're not some other club. It's like you outside when I come in, all Harlow Town are training on the pitch. But it's like, which is great. But just say Hertford Town come down and your person that looks after that 3G pitch stops some of your teams playing or training on it because of Hertford Town, because they need the money. You'd go, what is going on here? And we was all open. We worked with, there isn't a football club that's used our facilities that say that we stood in the way. Cheltenham ladies, if they're listening now, will text and say how well their relationship was with us. And so will Seven Acres. We'd done everything asked of us. But I felt we were being treated very poorly. And as I said, you know, I'm a business, but I've got a business. I wouldn't treat my best customer, and we are their most, you know, whatever they could say they gave us here and there, our biggest customer, like the way Thamesmead Town have been treated. So it's got to come out.
Well, as I say, when you're ready, we're ready. So yeah. And I say, whenever you're ready, if that's next week, 2 weeks' time, when we've got the show after that, we'll cancel whoever's going to be coming in, because there's two, we've got guests booked for next week and 2 weeks' time.
Yep.
But that's not a problem. We'll like I said,
I've had a lot of people asking me the same. The one thing I want to make sure, and I said this at the beginning, everything I say will be factual. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to make anything up. So I'm drawing it all up. I'm going through it. I'm digging it out. And it's not for me sour grapes, because like I said, I didn't have to walk away from Thamesmead Town Football Club. I wasn't asked. The football club, the committee loved me there. I love them all. It was all outside the way that Trust were treating, I thought, myself. And I'm not silly. I said, they don't pay my wages. There are some weasels that sit behind a desk that now have gone power control, and they think the football club, you know, like I said, they wouldn't treat anyone else the same they've treated us. And, you know, like you said, passionate for me, it was all, I live and die football. I go out and watch games every week, and I wasn't there. The last few weeks, people go, oh, you look a bit more angry, and, you know, that ain't you. I was driving to games, and I wasn't thinking about the game. I was getting a stupid email on a Saturday afternoon. Some geezer moaning that, you know, about why you do it, why are you sending an email back like this, and it had to stop. And my fault, you know, I am passionate about my football. I do think I do a good job wherever I go. I'm 100%, but it just wasn't about the football in the end. And it was heart wrenching for me. Is an understatement. You know, my partner, I've lost a wife through my football club, where I was there all the time, and she's even been supportive. My ex wife in the last week or so, you know. Can't believe what they've done. My partner that I've got now, that it has been unbelievable with me, and you know, they just saying, look, are you sure, get back, and it's for them what I've done it for my kids and obviously my family. You know, I just didn't want to do something that I was going to regret and that could have banned me from the club, which gonna at the end anyways, it doesn't matter, but that would make me walk out, come across the bad person. I don't want that. But the football side of it, you know, I couldn't go Tuesday. I'm looking at games now, and I was eyeing up going to watch and play Cray away from home on Tuesday. But I think it's going to be too sore for me, and that upsets me. You know, I'm going out with the committee on Monday night. They're taking me out, and you know, they'll always be my friends. But it's you know, it's a quarter of my life gone. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough.
Well, you know, even before sort of we knew each other. I mean, you know, Ray Dyer would always say to me, you know, oh, he'd say, you know, what, Keith's at this game again tonight, Keith's at this game tonight, Keith's there, Keith's there, Keith's been to this one. He's come and seen us, you know, about three or four times already and all this sort of stuff. And he used to say to me, and he said to me a few times, he's one of the hardest working managers, you know, in the non-league games, because every night he's out watching a game. He's not sitting at home or whatever. He's at literally somewhere around actually watching a game. So.
Yeah, everything I do 100%. And like I said, when the building was being booked, I went to untold meetings, hours and hours of meetings in my own working time for Thamesmead Football Club and the Trust to try and help it out and help them, not because I wanted to, you know, that they needed us for certain parts. And yeah, like I said, a lot suffered. I do things properly. You know, I'm still going to go and watch games. I went and watched one last night. I said I want to watch Fulham. And just, you know, if I do turn up at your ground, I'm not looking for your job. You know, I do want to get back into football straight away. It's got to be, if I got a phone call tonight and it was the right job, and I'll take it. I don't want to rest. I'm not tired. I've still got the passion, the buzz, the love, you know. But I've never been in this situation where I'm out of a job. It's 11 years. I've been there. I've never even had to think about it. I don't know what to do. You know, there ain't obviously loads of jobs out there. There's hardly any, to be honest. But people are going, have a rest, go away, wait till the end of the year. I can't do that. That's, you know, to change all of a sudden, and I don't mean this nastily, you know, people at my home and whatever, but to be out every night doing something because you're so passionate and you want to do a good job, to all of a sudden nothing. It's difficult, and someone said to me at a work game that's, you know, you've got to be careful in your own state of mind that it doesn't knock you sideways, and it has a little bit, but you know, I'm sure I'll come out of it and hopefully push on, and like I said, I wish the football club all the best in the world, but for me the only way is to get out of that place.
Well, we'll come back to this. We'll definitely come back to it. And on the phone, hopefully, is.